So tonight we're looking at how to discover your spiritual gift. And our scripture is Romans 12, 1 to 8. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is in serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is his leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we're here. We thank you for your word. We just ask you to bless us and guide us as we study it. Go with us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is a subject that a lot of people get a little nervous about. Spiritual gifts sometimes disconcert people because they think, oh, this is kind of a magical kind of thing or whatever, you know. But it's not. You can get into difficulties with this. You can get off the track and look at things in a wrong manner. But you should have a spiritual gift, something that God has given you that is your gift to contribute to the body. Now, the best example about this is you have a wrapped gift, maybe Christmas morning, maybe it's your birthday, whatever, but it's wrapped up. It was given in love. You enjoy, the people who gave it to you enjoy watching you unwrap and receive it. But what if you don't? What if you just go, oh, thank you, and set it aside? The people will say, who gave it to you will say, this person doesn't really care that I've given them something. And they're offended. Now, some people think that these gifts are for clergy. And the greatest example I ever heard, also from Adrian Rogers, is the clergy are paid to be good. The laity are good for nothing. Everybody has a ministry. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and then there are those who wonder what just happened. So you need to find your gift so you know what's happening and you can make things happen in proportion to what the Lord has led you into. Now, the first thing that we need to do is we need to look at some of the gifts. And they're found in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but one Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of those tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, the first thing it says in verse 1 is about spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know about these things. The actual word for spiritual gift is charismata. In Greek, charis means grace. Ma means the quality. And mata means an example of, a gift. Therefore, the actual Greek word that we translate spiritual gifts actually directly means grace gifts. They're not talents. They're something God gave you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they work by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural gifted ability. It's when you can't figure out whether something is on the up and up or not, or if the devil is leading you in the wrong direction, you may be given discernment of spirits. Like I say, Pat has had this a number of times. And you know. How do you know? I don't know how I know. I just know that that's not just right. You sometimes may feel like I need to lay my hands on this person and pray for their healing, and then they get healed. And you say, whoa, where did that come from? Now, it's not necessarily they got healed right instantly on the spot. Usually put your hand on their forehead and they drop down on the ground. I'm not really into that stuff. But I have prayed for people, and I've known an awful lot of highly spiritual people who have laid their hands on somebody and has prayed for them, and they got well over time. I know that we prayed over Roxana. She went in, it was the doctors and so on, but guess what? This was supposed to be so complex, and we don't know if we can get this all out and all this stuff, and they got it all. Now we have to wait 5 years so she can be declared absolutely cancer-free. But we believe it. We're believing in it. They're not talents. They're supernatural gifted abilities. Now there are distortions of this in verses 2 and 3 where it talks about the fact that the devil wants to pervert these gifts. He wants us to take them and go in the wrong direction and do the wrong things. Not strange stuff, not out of control. We don't do strange things just to be doing them. We're not out of control. We're completely in control, hopefully in control of the Holy Spirit. And it must glorify Jesus. That's one of the rules. When it comes from the Holy Spirit, it glorifies Jesus. Always. That's one of the ways you can tell it was from the Spirit. Now, there are a diversity of gifts. And Paul says in different places that we need to understand that each of us have our own gift. Just like the parts of the body have different functions. You can't the tongue can't say to the eye, because you can't talk and you can't taste, you're not a part of my body. And the eyes can't say to the nose, just because you smell doesn't mean anything if you can't see. Right? Now, we have people who sometimes don't have these things. Blind people, deaf people, stuff like that. There are people who can't feel anything. One of the places that that comes from is leprosy. The official name of leprosy is Hansen's disease. But you can't feel anything. And that's why lepers, people with Hansen's disease, have all kinds of sores all over them. Because they bang into things or they scrape things and they don't know it and they don't take care of it. So they actually have routines that they're taught, that every so many seconds or so, they go all over the body to find out if anything is damaged. And you'll see them doing it. Oh, is anything damaged? Because they can't feel it. All of these spiritual gifts are powered by the Holy Spirit. Remember, we were talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit and faith are what drives your working for the Lord. It's just like having a car and you won't start the engine. You know, faith is the fuel. The Holy Spirit is the actual reaction. All powered by them. And they're in unity. There are places where it talks about the fact that you don't do things in unison. You don't everybody do something all at the same time. It's like Pat was saying. We were in a place where it was traditional to speak in tongues all together. And it was cacophony. In the 14th chapter of Corinthians, at 1 Corinthians, it says, don't do that. What they were doing, it specifically says, don't ever do that. But they did. It's not in unison. It's not uniformity. In other words, because I do something doesn't mean you have to do it. It depends on what God has for you. And it's not union. It's not saying, if you don't do what I tell you you ought to do, then I'm going to take and put you out of the church because you didn't do it. There are churches who do that. If you can't speak in tongues and interpret the tongues, then don't come to our church because we don't believe you've actually been saved. That's not true. You'll never hear me say it. You'll hear me say a lot. It's not true. Now, there's a design to this, and the design is to profit all. Okay, at one point, Paul talks about the fact that we have parts of our body that are less honorable. Now, we're saying basically the lady parts and the gentleman parts and all this stuff. And because we look at them, we say they are less honorable. But we clothe them better because we hide them. You know, it used to be that the Mel Brooks did a thing called 2,000-year-old man. And somebody asked him, what was the first clothing that was made? And that guy said, oh, I think it probably was pants, right? You know, you got to protect all that stuff there. And he says, no, if somebody messes with that, well, it's a little thrill. Well, so what? If they mess with your brain, then you write the wrong check, you do who knows what. So the first thing was a hat. This is not true, but at any rate, the idea is, he says, we clothe the things that we have less honor for better than things that we do have. Those things that we think have great honor, well, we just let them hang out. You know, maybe I get a muscle shirt if I've got big muscles. And, oh, yeah, you can see that. But if I walk around naked, you're going to go, no, that's not nice. We don't do that here. Right? But these things that we find less honorable, as Paul says it, they have functions that will, if it doesn't work right, it'll mess your body up really fast. Once again, Roxana knows this after having a colonoscopy, or what do you call that? The little thing that you hook up, the colostomy bag, whatever. Because you have to do that. You have to go pee, you know, and so on. But we think, oh, you know, well, I don't want to be that part. Well, somebody has to be that part. Maybe not exactly. But the idea is there are those people who do things that other people don't want to do or maybe can't do, whatever. And we sometimes just overlook them completely. The design of the spiritual gifts is to profit all, and it is a tool that's used to bless the body. Now, sometimes, like I say, we just look over them and we don't think about them. So, what are the gifts of the Spirit? Well, they're given by the Holy Spirit at His discretion. And there's basically three divisions of them. One is teaching and leadership. First one being leadership. Somebody who's an actual leader. Some places, some Bibles translated administration. Okay, that's Pat. She will tell you, I can sit here and preach. She has to administer this church because I'm not good at that. It's not my talent. My talent, like I said, is my spiritual gift is loudness, preaching the Word of God. So, and that's the other one is prophecy. Now, prophecy and exhortation are two gifts that many times you find them going together, but they don't necessarily. Prophecy is forthtelling the Word of God. And if you look at the prophets, particularly the minor prophets in the Old Testament, you'll see that it comes out, God says this to you. Mostly, you're messing up big time, guys, and I am just about to whack you. So you better get your stuff together. And this is where God in the Old Testament is given a bad rap, because He always follows that in the prophecy with, but what if you just come back and follow me and we get together again and I'll blow the whole thing off and we'll start all over? People overlook that part. But it's forthtelling. It's God saying, you need to get your stuff together. That used to be what the Lord had called me to. And the reason I know He called me to, because that's what I saw. I would look at places and I would say, this is what's wrong with this place. And in general, I was pretty much right. And in Ephesians 4, it talks about the four kinds of preachers. A prophet, an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, and a pastor teacher. Now, an apostle is a missionary. He's somebody who is sent out. A prophet is somebody who tells the Word of God. And it's often said that if a prophet preaches, somebody's going to get mad. Because that's the job of a prophet, is to call people out and to say, you're messing up. You better get your stuff together. God's not happy with you. An evangelist is somebody who's talking to people who don't know Jesus. And if you're truly called with the spiritual gift of being an evangelist, they often say an evangelist will not preach unless somebody gets saved. That's the whole point. God and Billy Graham, it's like you watch him. He would preach, hordes would come down. Greg Laurie, he preaches, hordes come down. Because God has given him the spiritual gift of what we call exhortation. That calls people to do what God wants. That's what a pastor teacher does as well. An evangelist calls people to Jesus. A pastor or a teacher, usually it's together, pastor, teacher, is here to teach you how to follow Jesus after you've given your life to him. And then there's the gift of teaching. Teaching, you might say, is somebody who can explain something in a way that somebody can understand. I believe that the Lord has now given me that gift as a pastor, because my great love has always been the study of the Word of God, but I've never been able to clearly explain it. I usually would, you know, get my tongue tangled and so on. I'm getting far better at that now because the Lord has called me to pastor people. He's called me to have people like Roxana send me an email and say, "What's this about?" And I explain it. And hopefully I explain it clearly, and if not, then she can ask me again. And I'll explain it better, right? I love talking about the Word of God. And then there's wisdom. Now, wisdom is the opposite of the gift of knowledge. Now, what we mean by that is this. Knowledge means you will know something that you have no reason to know. You may see, if you watch the 700 Club, you may see that the person who will be praying will say, "I feel like there's somebody that has this problem or whatever, and I want to tell you what the messages God has for you." Now, how does he know that there's this person out there? Don't know. That's the gift of knowledge. The gift of wisdom is understanding something that is muddled, that it's hard to understand, but you're wise, and so you're able to understand it. All of you who have given your life to Christ have gained wisdom, because now when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit is giving you an understanding of what's in the Bible. The gift of wisdom, however, may be a deeper understanding, and things like Daniel and Revelation and stuff that's very hard for people to understand. Okay? I often look at something and I don't even think, so I start going through my commentaries. And if you were there with me when I'm going through my commentaries, you'd laugh, because I'll look at something and go, that's crap. That's not true. it doesn't seem right to me. But then I'll look at something else and I'll go, oh, now I get it. Now I see what it is. See, this guy was messed up, but this guy's got it right. And it's because the Lord has revealed to me, yes, listen to that, Walter. That's what I wanted you to know. And then there's discerning of spirits. If something's happening and you know that this is being driven by the spiritual world, you can just feel it. Okay, but who did it? If you feel like you're receiving a message spiritually, who'd it come from? So, you may need discernment of spirits to know, who am I going to listen to? Is this guy working for God? There are people out there, and I can tell you, Pat will probably agree with me if I told you who it was, but I don't do that. And you listen to them. Well, maybe I will give you an example. Jimmy Swaggart. I never thought Jimmy Swaggart was working for God. I thought Jimmy Swaggart was working for Jimmy Swaggart, and it turns out I was right. Okay? There was a guy in Southern California we'd watch when we were down there named Reverend Ike. And he had a prosperity gospel. Only it was strange, because we were all supposed to feel much better because he was getting rich. And I'm going, why do I care if you get rich? Make me rich. Man, that's going to be important to me. But these are people who are putting out stuff that are just, it's not right. And so you need to know that. Okay? And then there's gifts of service. You have the gift of ministry. Different names of this. Pat refers to what Vicky does as the gift of service. Probably what they really mean is the gift of ministry, but there are Bibles where they translated it service. And then there's the gift of giving. There are people who give a lot, usually when they really ought not to, because they feel like the Lord is saying, okay, I'm going to give you this, and you're going to think, oh boy, this is great. Look here. No. I'm just passing through you, okay? Here's this. Give it to the church. Or give it to somebody. Okay? We have people like that in this church. We have the gift of faith. I have run into a lot of people who have way more faith than I do. I've run into a lot of people who just believe that something is going to turn out okay. Very often I don't. I know I should. I try to talk like I believe it's going to be okay. But this is this mustard seed faith thing. If I've got any in this instance, it would be because it's faith as of a mustard seed. And then it comes true, and the Lord says, are you getting more faith, Walter? Did you see me working here? You know? But some people just have incredible faith. And then there's the gift of mercy. Mercy is somebody who can empathize with people. This is a person who, you know, lady will grab a lady, or man might grab a man. And once again, some of these come and go. I had one instance where I was sitting there at a Promise Keepers meeting, and next to me was a guy, and he started to cry. So I just walked over and put my arm around him. I'm figuring, okay, maybe this will comfort him a little bit. And when the guy who had been preaching got done preaching and so on, he turns to me and he says, thank you for doing that. I was just going through so much. Now, having been in the Air Force before I got in the Navy, I know about pilots. And this guy was a pilot. And he had just lost his ability to fly because of physical problems. And some people, their job is who they are. And if they can't have that job, they aren't anybody to themselves. Well, that's what had happened to him. So we sat and we had a discussion and we talked and so on. But what he needed was, when this was going on, whatever set him off, he needed somebody to just sit down, put an arm around him and say, it's okay, pal. To me, the gift of mercy is epitomized by my buddy, Bud Gilbert, who always said, you may find yourself in a hole. That's what PTSD is like. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there and you cannot get out of the hole. And then all of a sudden, somebody jumps into the hole. And you think to yourself, why in the world would anybody jump in this stupid hole? And the guy looks over with a big smile and he says, you want to get out of the hole? I used to be in one just like this. I know how to get out of it. Come with me. And they get out of the hole. And when they get out of the hole, he turns to him and he says, now go jump in somebody else's hole and show him how to get out. Okay? That's the gift of mercy. And then we have the gift of signs. Signs are things, like I was telling you about the gift of knowledge. You know things that you have no way of knowing. That's a sign. People look at it and they say, well, this, you know, this nothing but must have been the Spirit of God that did this. Because healing. There are people who will lay their hands on somebody and all of a sudden they start getting well. Now, I mean, you're not just watching it close up a wound or whatever, you know, usually, but you'll have people who, we knew a lady who had been to Africa and she got AIDS in Africa. And the African AIDS were much more serious than the United States AIDS. And they basically were saying, you're toast. Well, we all got around and we prayed for her. And she went back to the doctor and he goes, it's gone. It's just gone. I don't know where it went. That's not possible. And then there are gifts of miracles, doing something miraculous. I don't have examples for that because I've never done it. I'm not a miraculous person. I guess you would say that a miracle would be riding down the road on my motorcycle and getting run off the road and sliding down the road and it didn't even make my patch dirty. That was a miracle. It wasn't anything I did. It wasn't a gift they gave me. The gift was that I didn't get killed. But at any rate, and then we have the two gifts that mess everybody up. The gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation. Now, I'm not going to get into this real deep right now. The gift of tongues is basically the ability to speak to somebody who doesn't speak your language and have them understand you. I have known people who have claimed that they spoke to somebody who did not speak English, and they spoke to them in English, and that person heard in a different language. But whatever, you can have prophecy in tongues, and the tongues are a sign to say that because this prophecy was given in a language I don't know, that should give you more indication as to the truth of it. Well, that goes along with interpretation. If somebody gets up and begins speaking in tongues in an assembly, then everybody ought to sit down, they ought to be real quiet, and somebody should get up and say, here's what that person just said. And this guy doesn't know this language either. He just knows what God told him that message was. And once again, I have heard of people where that happened. And there was someone there who spoke that language and knows what that person said and knows he doesn't speak that language. And he knows that this person doesn't speak the language either, but he translated it perfectly. Hmm. Now, that was a sign to an unbeliever. And boy, this guy came to Christ right now. These are rare things. This doesn't happen a lot nowadays. But so how do you discover what your spiritual gift is? Well, first of all, you know that the gift is given by the Holy Spirit from Jesus. That's what Jesus said it was going to be. And so you need to make it known that if you show me what you have for me, what my gift is, I will use it for you. You need to be a member of the body. In other words, you need to be here and you need to come and you need to work together and you need to be a part of the body. So God says, okay, you just became a foot or whatever, you know. So what does this mean to us? Well, it's really pretty basic. You have a gift. You may not know what it is, but you have a gift, and you're responsible for its use, so you need to find out what it is. And we are all responsible to build up the church, and that's what these gifts are for. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you give us gifts. Some you give us permanently, some you give us just at need. But it comes from you, And it's to build up your church, and it's to build up our body. And we praise you, Lord, for this. Help us each to know what you want from us, and help us to go do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.